Okay, we're picking up from the Mishnah Samachem Rebez, the last line of Samachem Rebez. The Mishnah is going to discuss different things that a person who's crippled is wearing. He's allowed to wear them on Shabbos. And so the Mishnah starts off, Akita Yotze Bekavshel Devei Meir, that a person who's an amputee is allowed to go on Shabbos if he has like a wooden replacement foot. Because this is, Rashi says, it's considered a shoe for him, and therefore it's considered a malbush, and he'd be mutter to wear. That is how Rabbi Meir understands. Rabbi Yossi says that it's usher for him to go out with his wooden foot, according to Rashi, because lav tashvatu. It's not considered it's going to be considered a musher, it's not going to be considered his malbush. As Rabbi Yossi understands, some understand that maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that really it is a malbush, it's only exerted rabban unless they come to take it off. Okay, that's a machlokas. And the Rishonim had to explain this machlokas. Ve'im yesh lo beis kibbol ksitin tame. If this wooden foot had a receptacle for rags, it would be susceptible to tuma. It would be susceptible to tuma because usually the general rule is that anything that has a receptacle as a beis kibbol is going to be susceptible to tuma. And then the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah says, Somchol shalo, if the person has the supports for his lower legs, they're made out of leather of someone who is an amputee, Tumei Midrash, they're going to be susceptible to Tumas Midrash. Tumas Midrash is something that if a Zavar, Zava, touches something, so then when if something that's generally used, then when they sit or they lie on it or they lean on it, that is going to be Tumei Midrash. And the Chiddush is that and Tumei Midrash also it makes it an Abatuma. It keeps it as an avatuma. So that touches something that would be what's susceptible to tumas midras by something that's generally used to lean on. Then it's going to be the chiddush is that it would become an avatuma. And it needs to be an object whose intended use is to support a weight of a person. If it's not something that's usually used to support a person, then it's not going to be tumah midras. So that's the chiddush over here. That since they are something that holds his weight, that it would be in this category of tumas midras. The Yotzin ben Shabbos, a person is allowed to go out with Shabbos, and Nichzin ben Azara, and one is allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash with them. What's the chiddush of them going into the Beis Hamikdash? Rashi points out, we saw this Mishnah, and Brachos tells us, person loyal at the Beis Hamikdash, right, with his, now, when his shoes, and with and he had a stick holding him. So you're not allowed to wear your shoes over here. So Rashi points out that over here it's mutter because when we say that it's usher to wear shoes for your feet, that is that situation over here. That's only for one's feet, however. These pads are only along the length of his legs, and therefore they're by their shins or his knees, therefore not considered shoes. Only shoes is really the issue. Okay? So then the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah also says that if someone who's crippled to the extent that he's not able to walk at all, so he's sitting on a chair that's attached to him, and he places these supports in his hands, and he puts them on he uses it to walk, then that's the case of Kisei V'Som Kol Shelo. If he has his chair and his supports are subject to, going to be Tmei Midrash, they're going to be subject to the Tumah of Midrash, as we mentioned, because they are something that a person is not able to walk with at all, and he's leaning on them completely. And the Kiddush over here is V'Einyot Tumah Shabbos, you're not allowed to go with them on Shabbos, and also in Nechusim Abazara. So when it comes to the fact that you're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos, Rashi says because you're using them and they're going to dangle over the side of the chair and you're not resting them upon the ground, so then they can easily fall off. Since they easily fall off, then they're going to fall and you're going to be carrying them in the Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi has two explanations. We'll go with that one because that's the one he ends up accepting. And then Einach Zemazara is a different problem over here because these leg supports were considered at the wear upon your feet, therefore, because they're at the tip of where the person's legs are cut off, so therefore, that would be the problem, and that would be a problem over here of wearing them in the Beis Hamikdash. Now the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah says, Lokmin Tor and Veinu Zemesh Shabbos. These Lokmin are, Rashi says that they're these type of masks that they would use to scare children. We're going to discuss this, okay? And they're not going to be susceptible to Tumah, and someone's not allowed to go with them on Shabbos because they're not considered, actually says, not a tachshis, or they're not a beged. So therefore, since they're not a tachshis or beged, they're not an ornament, or they're not a garment, then you're not allowed to go with them on the Shabbos, because they'd be a musoy, they'd be considered a burden. Now the Gemara has two different, the Gemara is going to discuss the Mishnah, the Gemara has two different girsas, who said what over here with regards to Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. So the Gemara, Amalei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman, hey Chitan, how do we teach the Machlokas over here? Did the Mishnah say that Rabbi Meir was the one who said his mutter to go out with the wooden foot, with the first case of the wooden foot over here? Or was he the one who said that it's Aser? But Yotzebet's Kavshalo was Rav Meir, Machmir Rav Meir was Mekel. So the Gemara says, Amr Lei, and Rabbi Yossi would be the one, vice versa, whatever Rabbi Yossi, if Rav Meir was Mekel, then Rabbi Yossi would be Machmir. If Rabbi Meir was Machmir, then Rabbi Yossi would be Mekel. So Gemara Lei, then I don't know what the correct Kirsi is. Hilchaz Amai, so then Rava asked another question. He said, what's the Lacha though? Are you allowed to go out with this case of the Mishnah? Are you allowed to go with the Kita? So the Gemara says, also, Amr Lei, Lo Yodana, I don't know this either. So the Now the Gemara addresses Rabba's first question. Itmar, says the Gemara, we have a teaching. Amar Shmuel en akita. Shmuel says the Mishnah is saying that a person is not allowed to go out divrei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi would be matir. That's the correct year. So Chedim Ravuna, and this Ravuna says in akita that Rabbi Meir was the one who's saying an amputee is not allowed to go out, and Rabbi Yossi was the one who was being makil. So and the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi agreed with this. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi, all of Amar Shmuel in akita. So since Shmuel said this, the Amar Rav on in akita on anami not in akita. So we should also learn that that's correct Girsa. That meant that we say that amputee is not allowed to go out according to Rabbi Meir. Amputee is not allowed to go out anywhere. However, Rabbi Yossi would be the one who is being makil. The Gemara now asks a question if that is really correct. Gemara says Maski. The following. Meir says that an amputee is not allowed to go with his wooden foot. Rabbi Yossi Mater, Rabbi Yossi permits him to do that. They said this in the base medrash of Rav. That's what they said in the base medrash. However, Rav then told them, he motioned to them that they should not be, gorse, that rather they should flip it around and say that Rabbi Meir is the one who's being makil and Rabbi Yossi is the one who's being machmir. So we see from here that Rav argued on Shmuel. So why did Rabbi Yosef go with Shmuel? He should have agreed with Shitas of Rav. Aga, why was Rav only pointing to him? Why was he only mentioning it? The Gemara in Yoma mentions this whole story, and he says that Rav was saying Kriyat Shema, so he wasn't able to actually speak. So therefore he says, no, and then he figured, the emotion, they figured out what he said, and he really wanted to switch around. Okay, either way, interesting. Lashon. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'simanayach samech samech. The manik remembering this is a samech samech. It's the fact that Rabbi Yossi prohibits it and Rabbi Meir is making is the way to remember this is samech samech, because if you remember these two consecutive words, it's considered with the samech. That's how you're going to remember it. That's what she says. So Gemara says, what is this? V'ash Shmuel Adarbe, and even Shmuel retracted his opinion. How do you know this? Tisnan, the Mishnah says, chaltza b'sandal she'ina shalah. We're talking about Yibum over here. The halacha of Yibum is that of a person dies, Rachman al-Tzlan, with no children, and there is a brother who is alive. So then, the woman who is now the widow of the brother has to come to Reuven dies, now he has to come to Shimon to do either Yibum Chalitza. Yibum would be that he'd marry her, and then he would take her as a wife in order that he should be bona as Beis Achiv. Or however, if he does die, it's not that he'll do the Chalitza of spitting in the shoe, and therefore removing himself, obliging himself of the obligation to be married to her. So the Gemara now says, the Mishnah says, that Chaltzah Besal Deshena Shalaf if a Yavama perform the chalitza with the sandal that wasn't the yavam's besandal shel eitz, or if it's a sandal of wood, o shel smal biyamin, or she used the left shoe, which is supposed to be on the right foot of the person, chalitza ksher, the chalitza would still be valid. So what's the problem with why do you have to do chalitza with your right foot? Well, as she says, we learn it out from regel mitzori v'gzira shava, that we know that regel when mitzori is bo an yada v'manis v'bo an ragla v'manis, that it has to be on his right foot. So too with the chalitza, we learn it has to be on the right foot, but apparently that's not makif. The chalitza b'diavad would be valid. And we also said to this, man Tana, who is the Tana that holds that a wooden sandal is kosher? So that's the part we're working focusing on, that if you use a wooden sandal, it's still going to be kosher. Okay, and we see, so the Gemara says, again, because the pasuk says that she has to remove the chaltza nala, and if you're using a wooden shoe, that holds that that's an article that is going to be considered valid to use as a shoe, which would be similarly allowed to use it on Shabbos. Then, Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, Disnan Akita Yotze Bekavshelo, and Shmuel answered, "Who is this Tana? It's Rabbi Meir who says that an amputee is allowed to go out with his wooden foot on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Meir, who says it's Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Oser, Rabbi Yossi says that it's Oser. Since Rabbi Meir is the one who says it's mutter on Shabbos, therefore he calls a shoe that's wood made out of shoe. Wood made out of shoe is going to be halachically a shoe. Therefore, by Garstach Chalitza Bepashtus, he would hold that a wood." And sandal would be kosher because it's considered a halachic shoe and be mutter. Okay? And therefore we see that Shmuel himself retracted, because if he holds it that Rabbi Meir held that that you're allowed to go out, that means that it's mutter, and then Rabbi Yossi is also that way that Rav wanted to teach it. So the Gemara says that Rav Huna also retracted. Rav Huna also retracted. Disanya, the Braisa tells us, sandal shel sayadin. If a plaster was selling straw sandals, Tavei Midras, it's going to be acceptable to Tumas Midras. V'yishlach chalitza, when a woman is allowed to perform chalitza with it, v'yotzim b'Shabbos, and a person is allowed to go with it. Shabbos divrei Rebbe Akiva. These are the words of Rebbe Akiva. V'lo odulo, but they did not agree with Rebbe Akiva. We're going to see who's chamim disagree with Rebbe Akiva in a moment. The Gemara is going to mention that. But now, got Tanya, but we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Braisa, rather, odulo, that they did agree with Rebbe Akiva. So to which Rav Huna said, Amar Rav Huna, to resolve this apparent stira. Did they agree with Rabbi Akiva or not? So Gemara says, Man Hodula, who's the one who agreed with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Meir, it was Rabbi Meir who holds that our Mishnah, that one is allowed to go on with Shabbos with a wooden foot, So we see that the shoe is not commonly used is going to be halachic status of a shoe. Therefore, you would agree with Rabbi Akiva that although straw isn't necessarily commonly used, just like by Hilchos Shabbos, even though using wood isn't normally the normal method of walking out, yet Rabbi Meir allows you to walk out with it. So too, when it comes to a straw, which isn't the normal common way to wear footwear, it's still going to be mutter to use it as a shoe with regards to chalitza. And now the Gemara continues. So we see that from the fact that Rav Huna said this, Aman Hodulon, and who's the one who did agree with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yossi, who holds in our mission that one is not allowed to go with them on Shabbos. So we see clearly that he flipped it around and he assumed that Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah is the one who's saying that you're allowed to go out with it, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who's not. So therefore he must have retracted what he originally said, where he had them reversed as Rabbi Meir saying that you're not allowed to. He must have changed his mind and said Rabbi Meir really says you are allowed to. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yosef man hodulah. So who is the one who did not agree? Lo hodulah. Who the one who didn't agree with Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This none. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. So when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have a receptacle that's made out of a straw and the tube that was made out of reeds, Rabbi Akiva says that these are going to be capable of becoming tame, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri says they are pure. They're incapable of becoming impure because they're not considered a kli. According to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, straw objects are not considered a kli, and it would be disagree with the Rikiva. They'd not be wearing them as a shoe for chalitza either because they're not considered a kli. So now the Gemara continues to analyze this, and the Gemara says, Amar Mar, the Rabbi Akiva told us in the Braisa, Sandal Shosayada and Tami Midras, that the plaster Siddur Siddur is to be separate to Tumah and to be Midras Tumah. Halav Lelucha Vida, but the Gemara asked the question though, that no one uses this to walk. It was only used to protect, why does the plaster use this? To protect the shoes from being burnt by the plaster ruining his shoes. So therefore it shouldn't be acceptable to Tumah's Midras because it's not something they use to stand or lean on. So it says the Gemara, Amar Ravacha Bar Ula, Ravacha Rula says, Shekin Asad Metal Bo, Ad Shemagia Lebeso, that the reason that this sort of sandal is going to be in fact susceptible to Tumah is because when the plaster sandal is going to walk where he needs to go after he's finished his job, he'll still wear this. He'll continue to wearing them. So the fact that he's still wearing them when he's finished his job, that shows it's not just a protection from a shoe to get dirty, but it must be they may cut objects in all right because they're wearing weight and because you wear them, so therefore they're going to be susceptible to Tumah. And now the Gemara continues according to the Mishnah, Vim Yeshla Beis Kibol Ksisin Tameh. That if the wooden foot possesses it has this receptacle for rags, it's going to be susceptible to Tumah. So the Gemara now quotes Machlokas Amoraim about this din. And where's Amar Abaye, Tame Tumas Mace. The wooden foot, in the case of the Mishnah, is only going to be susceptible to Tumah of Tumas Mace. That if a dead body is there, it's going to become Tame through an Aviyavos Tumah if it's an Oel because it's a Kli. However, Ain Tame Midras. It's not going to be susceptible to Tumas Midras because Rashi points out, according to Abaye, if its primary purpose is not to support the person's weight, rather just to be as a way to show that he it's like a way to not embarrass himself that he doesn't have that foot. It's a way to show that he's missing a foot. So therefore, it's not considered the ikker is not considered tumas midras. So therefore, it's not the ikker over there, and therefore not be tumah in that manner. Okay. However, Rava said afatam midras. No, in this situation, it would all be subject to tumas midras because even though he'll sometimes use it, he's using it to support his full weight, then it would still be rendered tame according to Rava. Okay? So now the Gemara says now, Amar Rava minaminlab. Rava says, I'm going to bring a proof for my Shita. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Egla Shokot, the Midrash, a tiled wagon, it is susceptible to Tumah. Even though it's only used occasionally for a child to sit in it, we see that even something that's only occasionally used, like I want to say, what he's going to use his weight in it, is going to be subject to Tumas Midras, something that usually lean on and has that special Tumah. So the Gemara says, and it says, Ramar Abaye, Hasim Samechila. No, there in the case of the child's wagon, the child is going to sit on it, and is therefore going to suffer to midras. Tumahachalos Samechila. But here, in the case of the wooden foot, he's not supporting himself upon it. He's only, it's not going to be supporting himself on it. He's only leaning on it. It's not the same as the wagon. So, Ramar Abaye, Minaminilas. And Abaye says, once he deflects Rav, he says, I'm going to bring you proof for my Shita. The Sana, the Braisa tells us, Makel Shasakinim Tarameklum. That if you have this type of a walking stick for people who are old, they would wear this walk. They would use this walking stick to walk. So, a cane, what we call a cane, is not going to be susceptible to Tumah, any Tumah at all, because it's pshutikli eitz, and it is not going to be Tumas Midras because you are not leaning on it. You're not putting all your weight on it. Rather, we're going to discuss exactly why it's not Tumas Midras, but we see that even though occasionally they would put all their weight on it, its primary purpose is not to, is Iker point, is not to bear your weight. It's only there to help guide you. So therefore, it's not going to become tame. So the word says, how is Rava going to answer? So Rava, Hasam Rava, and there, in the case of the cane or the walking stick, the tirutze sugya avida, there, it's never used to support your full weight ever. What's it there for? It helps you straighten your way. That if you're walking, it's hard. You walk. You can't walk straight. You're an older person. So there, it's helping you. You're leading part of your weight on it. Therefore, it's not going to be susceptible to tumas midras. So the Gemara says, "Hacha lisma play ahu davida." But here, in the case of the wooden foot, it is not only, you're right, it's made to look good and then make not look good, but meaning not look like you're missing a foot. However, you do put your full weight on it. So therefore, v'samech alei, you put all your weight on it, and therefore, it's going to become midras. Tumas. So both of them deflected their shitas, and both of them don't have kashas against it. Now the Mishnah continued to may and midras that we saw the chair and the legs, the person who's sitting on them, is going to be susceptible to tumas midras. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah continued, "V'ainot tumim b'shabbes, not letting go with them. Shabbos, v'ainot tumim la'azar." So now the Gemara says a steer. The Gemara says, "Tanim tumim b'Rabbi Yochanan." There's a person who used to teach braces in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he had nichlasin by Lazar. He had an argument on their Mishnah. The way that he taught the braces was that the braces says you are allowed to go to the base of Mikdash with these supports on your lower legs. To which Rabbi Yochanan said, "Amarlei ani shone isha chalitzas bo." But I learned another brisa says that a woman is allowed to do chalitza on it. If a woman is allowed to do chalitza, you're allowed to go to the base of Mikdash. If you're allowed to do chalitza on it, we see that it's considered a shoe. If it's halachically considered a shoe, then for regards to the base of Mikdash, it's also going to be considered a shoe. In which case, you would not be allowed to bring it into the base of Mikdash. So therefore, it must be you taught the brisa wrong, and therefore it says Rabbi Yochanan Tani should amend the brisa and say the following: Ainit lusin ben Lazar, you're not allowed to go in the brisa. The brisa would agree with the Mishnah that you're not allowed to go to the base of Mikdash with these leg supports, since they're considered an alayim, they're considered shoes, and therefore it's going to be usher. Now the Mishnah continues, loktmin tahora. These loktmin are not going to be susceptible to tzuma at all. You're not allowed to go with them Shabbos, but the Gemara analyzed the fact they're not susceptible to tzuma. So the Gemara says, my loktmin, what are these loktmin? So Rabbi says, chamra da'akva. These are the type of wooden donkeys that they used to put on their shoulders, that the clowns used to, Rashi says, and they would used to do this because it would give the impression they were riding it. They have this even nowadays, with these little things for kids. And since it's not a clear, Rashi says it's not going to be simple to tumah. That's the first one. Rav Papa Mark Shir. Papa says it's a type of stilts that people used to walk in muddy areas. And they're not simple to tumah, Rashi says, because they're pshutik liyetz. Since they're pshutik liyetz, they don't have a receptacle, then it would not be a problem of making them. Tell me why in the tumah midras, Rashi says a hard time with that, Rashi says, why is there a problem midras? Okay, we'll go fight there. And then the third answer is Rava by Rav Huna Amar Parme. They are parme, which Rashi says they're tlumisa niksheras al parts of lavis habanim ktanim. That these are masks used to frighten children. It's just interesting to note, this potentially is the only source in all of Shas for, potentially because it's not even clear that this is the case, but for dressing up on Purim. This might be the source of Shas, because it called the Gemara the Lashon of Parmi, which sounds like Purim, and Rashi calls it a mask. So there are those who want to, scholars who want to analyze and say, maybe this is the source for dressing up. It's not clear. The earliest Rishon who deals with it is the Maharik, and he was dressing, it's very interesting, he was dealing with the Isser of cross-dressing, which clearly indicated that he had is there an Isser to cross-dress on Purim, but he clearly indicated that it was mutter for him to dress up on Purim, and that was clearly the minhag, and it should be a nice thing to do, dress up on Purim. But either way, it's just an interesting potential maramukum over here, that parme is the lesson of Purim, and Rashi calls them mask, closing the shares of parts of the avasiktanim, so this could be the potential source, but again, there's those different understandings of what parme is, some argue on Rashi, but anyway, this, the Fi Rashi potentially could be a very nice source for the minhag of dressing up on Purim. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to list two additional things which someone is allowed to go with on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Habanim Yodzim Biksharim, the young boys are allowed to go on Shabbos with knots. V'nei Melacha Bezugin, and princes are allowed to go out with, Rashi says, with these bells that were very, they're gold on them, very nice bells. The Chol Adam, this really, any person would allowed to be go with this. Alash Yibrachamah over the Chamah, we're just talking about what was normal for their times. Normal that princes and people are Chashuv would be wearing these gold bells, but anyone who had the ability to buy these would be able to wear them on Shabbos because they're not afraid to come take them off. So now the Gemara says, Mike Sharm, what is these knots that discuss in the Mishnah? Amar Ravad bar Marav Menachem Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Ashi bar Avinam Rav Yuda, Kshurei Pua. They are these knots made of some sort of plant that they used to wear around their neck, Rashi says, to heal them. And Rashi says he doesn't know exactly what, cure for what sickness we were discussing. Okay, some say that it's for all eight, for the Korban Eidah and Rishalmi says it's all illness, for all sicknesses it was helpful for, but either way, it's a type of plant. The Gemara says, my mother told me, whenever Abaye used to say this, he was talking about his mother who raised him. His mother died of childbirth. And who is this? So what did she tell him? Plus a muki, there are three knots If you wear three knots, they will be able to contain the illness. Chamishi must, if five would be able to heal it. And Shiva, Afilu Kshafim Male, and seven would be beneficial even for stopping people who have Kshafim, who have the type of magic and things like that. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Vehuda Lochazi Leishim Shavisara. This is true, but the knots are helpful only if the knots are not exposed to sunlight or moonlight. Velo Chazi Mitra Velo Shmiel Leikol Barzel. They're also not exposed to rain, and they're not exposed to the sound of metal banging. The Kol Tarnagula, and or to the Kol Tanigre, not to the sound of a rooster crowing or to the sound of footsteps. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Nafal Butu Bevira." Rav Nachman says, "You need all of these things, then these knots are useless because it's impossible to get all these things in. It definitely is one of these things going to happen. Not be sound of footsteps, the sound of our tarnagel. For sure, it would be impossible to find the type of plant." And the Gemara says, "Now continues the question. This the Gemara says, Ma'ira Banim. So then, if this is the case, then the knots of this plant. Then what's the reason that the Mishnah tells you only with regards to boys? I feel it should be by girls too, and not only that, Ma'ira Ktanim. I feel not only for young children." It should be the case for adults as well. It'd be helpful, and they should be going out with this on Shabbos. The Gemara says different. Therefore, the Gemara says a different explanation. The Gemara, Mike, Sharim, what is the reason knots are the Mishnah talking about knots? Kiya Damaravan Baravud Amarav Guria. He said the following: Ben Sheyesh Gaguin Al Aviv, a son who is homesick and he was waiting to see his father, so was leaving him Notal Ritzu Abimin Al Shalyami, and the father would take a strap from his own right shoe of a kosher smell and tie it to the boy's left arm, and that would help the boys. They'll help the boy from being sad. Some say that this is only when the father of Rahman's son like dying and the son is traumatic. Or the Rambam quotes another. Rambam says the parish of Mishnah. This is not the case that a son simply is the father's leaving for a long period of time and the son's going to be homesick, wants the father, or the son's leaving, and so therefore he would take this. I actually googled it and I found that this is on the Good Therapy Psychologist website, that they said that this is something that's very effective. If someone brings an element of home, that if you bring along a sense of home in a form of sensory, it will cure and can help the environment feel more familiar. And it will therefore help your child adjust to being away from you, and that is what they suggest. So this is proven by the later psychologists as well. Okay, and now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak V'simanayach Tefillin. The mnemonic to remember this practice is Tefillin, which are also straps that are knotted onto someone's left arm with the right hand. So too the father would take from the right shoe and tie them onto the son's left shoe. And the Gemara says that you have to do this properly because V'chilufa Sakanta, the opposite, the strap from the left shoe not onto the right shoe, is going to be a danger because the boy apparently is going to be excessive and he's going to be dangerous in the situation. He's going to be too homesick, and that's what he says over there. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amar Avin Bar Huna Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Sachufei Kasa Tubre B'Shabsa Shapidemi. It's be mutter for someone to turn over a hot cup on your belly button on Shabbos. Apparently, this is similar to the process of the cupping glass that people do. It's the cupping therapy. This was an ancient practice that was done many years ago, even done nowadays. People will see that this might have therapeutic healing. And so for him, according to him, it's mutter to do this on Shabbos. And it would not be the normal iser of gzira shchicha siman, and there's generally a din of all a din of taking medication on Shabbos, and that anything that's considered something that you think is helpful on Shabbos for medicine is going to be usher. So this should be usher also. However, this is going to be mutter because it doesn't involve any. You're not manipulating anything to one's body parts. You're not using any potions. So therefore, this is not going to according to Rav Avin Bar Huna over here. It's not going to be usher. Now the Gemara says a second halacha. Amar Rav Avin Bar Huna, Rav Chama Bar Guria, mutter lasuch shemen u'melach b'Shabbos. Also permitted to smear out a mixture of oil and salt on someone's the palm of someone's hands and also the sole of people's feet. Rashi says on Shabbos in order to remove someone who got drunk, to help someone relieve himself of being drunk. The Gemara now says ki hada Rav Huna maybe Rav Huna mibe Rav came of his teacher Rav, Rav mibe Rabbi Chia, and Rav came of the smidrash of his teacher Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia mibe Rabbi, and Rabbi Chia was a talmud of Rabbi. When they would get drunk, why would they get drunk? Apparently, that was Rashi says the common practice for the rebbeim to give wine to the teachers because they were simply able to have the depths of the Torah, and sometimes it led to them getting a little too much to drink. When they would get drunk. Maisi Mishcha Milcha, interesting. The only Yoshua of Ishtakir, they said, maybe say it's like a little bit drunk. Lashon, that's interesting. By Purim also, they said, Lashon, assuming there, it does sound like you're getting drunk. Okay, not getting too much money. Maisi Mishcha Milcha, they would bring a mixture of oil and salt, Vishayfaluhu, Legavasadidhu, Vigavsa de Charayu. So they would smear it on their palms, on their hands, and also their feet. The Amre, and they would say, Ki Echid Itzil Hai Mishcha, just as this oil is stinging out Rashi says because the warmth of the person's body, so to the wine should be removed from you and you should not be drunk. And if this, the oil and salt are not available, they would have this the seal of a barrel and they would soak it in water, and they would say, just as this seal is helping thinning out because of the water, bar falnisa. So to the wine that's causing you to become drunk of so-and-so, the son, bar planisa, the son of so-and-so, one woman should become thin and not, it really, literally means thin, but should remove your drunkenness. Another halacha, now the Gemara says, Amar of Avin, Bar Huna, Amar of Chaim, Rebbe, Goriya, Mutil Chanik, B'Shabbat, it's permissible person to call the process of strangling on Shabbos. However, this was something that the type of person would try to move their neck bones. If their vertebrae came out, they would apparently hang themselves by their head and stretch. And apparently this is something that is also still practiced today in some form or another of healing someone who's had this issue with their neck. And the Gemara continues, a fourth halacha, it's mutter for a person to wrap an infant on Shabbos in order to straighten their bones. Is similar to what we do now. If a person is swaddling a baby infant, is mutter on Shabbos. Apparently because they're in extreme pain, etc. Rav Papa must need bunny. Rav Papa says that it's children, the meaning that he taught that in regards to healing children. Rav Zvin must need ben. He says it's a child, meaning that healing children, so it was a shaila of what did each one say. The Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? Rav Papa must need banim. Rav Papa says children. They both taught that the ruling, the boy before that we saw, the boy was homesick, and wrapping an infant, that was both the name of Avin Bar Huna. However, Asvid Masne Ben, he says as a child, the Kamaisa Masne Avin Bar Huna. The first case of the knot, that was in Avin Bar Huna, and that was the way he said it. He taught the second ruling with regards to what we just said right now about wrapping an infant, that would be in the name of Rabba Bar Chana. That is mutter for someone to wrap an infant on Shabbos in order to strain his bones. But Papa, is we see over here, is saying Arba Hunar as Rab Zvid, and then Rabba Khan. Now the Gemara continues different things that again are Kabbalah. There's a lot of you know about this, Kamiyas and different things that Abaya says. I'm Abaya different healing methods. I'm only Ime. My mother told me, call me Nana Bishmai the Ime, that all the type of literally countings, but the type of kamiyas and type of things that you're davening for, when you write the tefillos, you should write it in the name of the person's mother. That's, we actually do this halacha l'maaseh when it comes to davening, rachman al-tzan, for a sick person, we say the name of the mother. The big shaila why that is. So just one shot I heard is that the mother has more zchusim because the Gemara says that if a person has yisurin, we don't know why the yisurin come upon him, we should tol of a bittul Torah. So you're mentioning the zchus ha'im because the mother has less averus to deal with because she doesn't have the afan of bittul Torah. Others give other reasons that you know for sure that the guy comes from his mother as opposed to his father. I don't know. But different things that, different suggestions why we daven for the mother. V'chol kitrim esmola and all the knots are tied upon the left arm and not the right arm. V'amar baye, amar li aim, kol minan de parshe ki de mefarshe. All the number of repetitions stated should be as stated. And those number not stated, you should repeat the word 41 times running these kamiyas. Again, there's a lot of vinyanim here. For us, we don't fully understand what the Gemara is trying to drive. The person is allowed to go out with Shabbos with a stone that they used to assume would help prevent a woman from having a miscarriage. It was a skula stone. I think the Kabbalah also give these out nowadays. And even the counterweight of the preserving stone, he holds is mutter. This is also effective preventing miscarriage. He holds his mutter to go out with this on Shabbos. Velo she pila, and it's not if she miscarried previously. Ela shema tapila, so it's stopping her from miscarrying. Velo ela shema tapila. Velo she ibra, and also not if she has already become pregnant. Ela shema tisar v'tapila. Now she become pregnant, and Rachman al-tzan, she'll have a miscarriage. And the Gemara continues, Amar of Yemer bar Shlomo amad Abaye v'huta iskaven v'iskel, that would be in a situation where the item was, the counter, it was equivalent in the weight size when it was weighed against it. However, it's not necessary to add or remove from the item in order to match the exact weight. The stone's not going to be necessarily effective and you would not be allowed to wear it outside of Shabbos. Baya, mishkal to mishkal mai. What is the situation if a person has an object that was weighed against the preferring stone counterweight teiko, and we're not sure if that would be productive in helping this case. Yamar Baya, Amar Leyem, my mother told me, Le'ishta bas yom, if a person has a fever that's coming every day, then mishkal zuzah chavuria, he should take a white zuz, that's a type of coin in the time of Gemara. V'lizal malcha should go to salt, and what do we do? It should weigh against the salt. It should tie the salt to the neck opening and the strand of the hair, and it will cure him of his fever. It should come into the street. And when they see a large large ant carrying something, lishka leshadi begova denasha, he should take that ant and place it in the copper tube. Listen, be avra, he should place this tube with lead. With listen, be shizin gushpane, and you have 60 different types of seals with bars. And you shake this tube, velidra, and carry it, velimar, and say to the ant, tanu chalai, your burners upon your burners. So amar alei, or avachaber, or vuna, asher dilma inish ashkav yavsus way. Another person is going to find this ant, and then he already put his illness on it. So you're saying the illness of the ant is on you. Maybe this illness will be bad for you as well. So it can't be that. So Gemara says, ella lema lei, tauna alei, tauna chalai, your burners upon you, my burners upon you, and therefore he's relieving in that situation. And if these items are not available, lishkol kuzuk chadotai, should take a smaller kli cheres, an earthenware vessel. Lizal nara, should go to the river. Limalei, say to the river, nara nara, my river, river, ozvan kozvan demaya leorchal deizkalili. You are clear of water. You're a vessel of water. My illness every day is coming upon me. Vileader shev zivnei alreishi, should take this and take it 7 rounds times his neck. Vileshna achorei, and toss the water behind him. Vilemalei nara nara shokol maya daslei, take the water that you gave me. The orcha the ikleli routine that came upon me. Yomei asu yomei asu, came one day, come left me. This is the way to get rid of his sickness. Okay, I'll pick up from Rav Runa Mirtzah Hashem tomorrow.